Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. We have Blackhawks hockey tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Patty Kane and company hit the ice for a Central Division showdown as the Predators come to town. Blackhawks pregame live drops the puck on our coverage 1 hour from right now. Then it's game time, 7:30 on NBC Sports Chicago and streaming on the My Teams app. Sports Talk Live is on location with a star-studded panel. We're at the United Center Blackhawks Authentic Fan Thursday. Make sure to show your Hawks fandom by using the hashtag AuthenticFan, and your photos might be shown during tonight's game. Let's get it all started right now. And good evening to Sports. Welcome to Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our great partners with the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. We are here on the concourse at the United Center in advance of the Blackhawks and the Nashville Predators. And we have a star-studded panel. We broke the budget for tonight's show. He's David Haw, one half of the Mully and Haw, that awesome show in the morning on The Score and the Chicago Tribune. He is Matt Spiegel from The Score, one of the great baseball savants in our town. And he is Jesse Rogers, Jesse, from ESPN 1000, ESPN.com. Great to have you guys.
Good balance. A little balance with the radio stuff, so that's good.
Thanks for paying up, Cap. Appreciate it.
Yeah. ESPN, The Score.
Why did Jesse go with the tie, though? Did he not get the memo?
I don't know.
I thought there was going to be like a Patrick Sharp here, you know, one of these guys that wear, you know what I mean? I wanted to look the part.
That's kid, next. You could have a $200 tie. Patrick Sharp's going to win that battle.
Can we just go straight to the baseball stuff here for me and Jess, or no?
We got to start with hockey.
Oh, no,
this
used to be my team here.
That's true.
That's right.
A few years
Jesse
ago.
Jesse was
I
the beat
thoughts.
Runner.
I got thoughts on this team. Here, January 9th, it is must-win time. You are playing a team right ahead of you in the standings, who just changed coaches and lost 6-2. You got to win tonight.
That's a hot take.
Hot take right off the bat.
I think, this team's up and down, though. You never know what to expect. Must win might be a little strong. Because if they win, where are they headed? You know, are you convinced that they're headed in the right direction if they win tonight? I don't know about that.
How could you be convinced of that? They're incredibly inconsistent. Yeah. Every once in a while, there's a brutal loss like the Devils, or the worst team in the league.
That was 7-1.
I know. Or they fall behind the Red Wings, who might be the worst
2-0
team in the league, and have to charge their way
four
back.
Four straight goals, though.
I know.
That's good.
And they just went through a stretch where they won 4 out of 5. Yeah. And certain things seem to be helping, and they seem a little more confident as a group. The penalty kill, especially on the road, has been money, but they're so inconsistent. Even if they win tonight, you can't.
No, of course not. Of course not. It is the quintessential team that's treading water and has been for 2.5, 3 years now. I mean, they're at 109 points to now, and it all goes back to those trades, you know, Jarmelson's trade, Panarin's trade. I mean, it's been said over and over again, but that's where they were, right, and that's where they are now.
Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote, and you can weigh in. You'll see it really artistically tabulate right there on the bottom of your screen. Okay, what will the Blackhawks be at the trade deadline? Buyers or sellers?
I think they're more likely to be buyers. I don't see them dismantling this team. I think also with the injury to Dylan Strome, that's going to be something that complicates matters. Look, today, I think Jeremy Colleton said it was going to be day-to-day rather than week-to-week, which is a good sign. So they're going to be competitive, and I think as long as they are still sort of competitive, Stan Bowman does not like – I can't see them hitting the reset button to rebuild again. I think they're going to try to probably, if anything, buy.
They've reached a point where actually making the 8 seed and getting in would be a big deal. As sad as it is compared to 3 cup runs in 5 or 6 years, they're 7 games back of the last playoff spot with 3 teams they have to jump. So it's not like it's an easy task, and they're coming off an easy part of their schedule. But I think they're going to go for it.
We asked the same question a year ago at this time, and Stan is going to want to buy, right? Right?
Yeah.
He's going to want to buy.
Right.
Someone has to tell him it's time to sell.
Okay, let me tell you why he should be a buyer and why he will be a buyer. But he'll buy for different reasons than you're speculating. He's got $11.5 million of cap room now because of long-term injury reserve with Brent Seabrook gone and Olli Maatta. What he's going to do is say, okay, pick a team that's really good, the Capitals. You got a bad contract there? You want to go get somebody to try and augment your cup team? Okay, I'll take the bad contract in the final year of its deal. It's going to cost you your number one pick. Give it to me, and I'll let you park your money on my salary cap.
I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. It sounds a lot easier than it is to actually pull off. I still think that they're going to try to convince themselves that they can get into the
playoffs. They have to stop trying to convince themselves.
But who are you going to sell, Jesse? I mean, obviously, the big question is, what would you do with one of the goaltenders?
That's
Corey
exactly
Crawford
right.
on the market? And if you get something for him, would you trade him? That's a really difficult
Duncan
question.
Keith?
And I could live with your scenario, Cap.
No.
I could live with that if you're buying in a sense to regroup, retool, not to try to sneak in.
It's crazy, but having goaltenders 1A and 1B is a luxury team like this. And if they could find a way to trust Leonard's health and move Crawford and his money off the books, this might be a time
but
to take
But you can't keep both of them next year, Matt, and you know how that works. And Cubs are going through that with Chris Bryant. You don't want to have somebody walk and get nothing in return. You can't risk having both of those guys walk and
That's
get nothing
why
in return.
I guarantee, if you gave up, what was the name of that defenseman who had a great career and he was not a very good player, I'll be kind. He had injury problems. They tried to get him to help in a cup run and he barely could play. And they gave up a second round pick. He was a legendary defenseman that they brought in here. And
there may have been a few of them over the years.
Kimmo Tiiminen?
Kimmo Tiiminen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at that. David
Very
Hall.
Good.
Ladies and
Nicely
gentlemen.
Done, David Hall.
That's how you host a morning show in this town.
Correct.
What time is it?
Correct.
Look.
That's how you host a morning show in Montreal.
But there's a key thing here, though, Cap. I mean, you can still theoretically be the seller that you label yourself if you get rid of, say, Corey Crawford. Then you're saying you're selling, you're getting something in return.
Right.
But they could get rid of Corey Crawford and still think that they're in contention for a playoff spot.
Yeah, because they got Robin Leonard.
Because Leonard is the better goaltender this year.
You still have to play half a season or whatever.
Yeah.
You still have to play after
And Leonard,
you
Leonard's
make
legit.
That trade.
He
sure.
may be the best player on the ice on some nights.
I'm with Jesse. I am taking on bad money. Because that long-term injury reserve comes off the books at the end of the season.
Right, right.
Cap, you come here a lot. You walk down the hallway. You're going to see Rocky Wirtz. You're going to see John McDonough. You're going to see guys who are immersed in tradition and history and believe in that one-goal premise. Can you see them unloading Duncan Keith or Jonathan Toews or, dare I say it, Patrick Kane at the deadline? Absolutely not.
That bit is dead, guys.
Okay.
That bit's rating well. If you are seriously all about winning a championship, you do what you got
to
do.
And, Haw, you have to at least explore all these things. That's what you do if you're a great, good GM. You explore all of it. And all of a sudden, if it sounds really good, too good to pass up, you do it. Yes, because you're not winning the
Keith
cup with
Kane
this team.
Keith Kane or Toews?
I'm saying yes.
Kane, no.
I'm
Kane,
saying
I would never trade.
Yes.
This organization,
you explore these things.
This organization has had some nice cover after all those successful runs.
Right.
And the fact that their co-tenant here in the winter is such a disaster and embarrassingly so. It feels like the Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler era of the Bulls here. Just after the run.
Well,
but there's still energy here. It's authentic fan
that's
night.
It.
It's still crowded here. People are still giving them the benefit of the doubt.
That might be true. But
that's not going to last
long. But don't you think the Bulls and the Blackhawks are on the same path here? What is their identity, especially defensively? I mean, the Blackhawks have goaltending.
Yeah, but
I think it's similar.
We try to lump that together.
Yeah,
but
lump it together.
Because the Bulls would kill for the kind of star power that the Blackhawks
Absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely, and Stan Bowman and Rocky Wirtz are still beloved to a level that Paxson and Jerry Reinsdorf are not.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, right. So what's worse, the star power producing a .500 record, or at least with no stars on the
Bulls? No star power is always worse.
Of course, but I'm just saying.
But in hockey, star power doesn't guarantee like it does in basketball.
No, exactly.
You drop Patrick Kane's equivalent on the Bulls, look out.
But how many people are here tonight in sweaters of people who are still on the ice? That's a big deal. Marketing-wise, they're in a much better spot.
All right, let's move to basketball. Bulls were not very good last night. They played a lousy New Orleans team without its two best players, Zion Williamson out, Drew Holiday out, and they gave up 44 points in the third quarter, 44-27. Here is Will Perdue, our analyst and a three-time champion, played for the Bulls for a long time, played in San Antonio, knows what winning basketball is about. This is Will Perdue on what he thought after the game.
I know people continue to talk about the struggles on the offensive end, but the one thing that I always remember as a player when I was with Chicago, San Antonio, every team goes through struggles offensively, but is your defense at a point? Is it strong enough? Do you trust your defense where you can make the necessary stops to keep yourself in a ball game? And all of a sudden now I feel like this defense is starting to get exposed, and I think you're starting to see some frustrations boil to the surface. I think you're starting to see some players, the way they're with their body language.
Yep.
You know, they're getting to the point where they're about, you know, you're starting to see some cracks in the armor. So that's why I asked KC the question about, you know, hey, you're seeing little improvements here and there. But at the same time, if this continues to happen and you have games like this, the changes need to be made. Is it a personnel change? Do you need to make trades? Do you need to change the schemes offensively or defensively? Because we have talent. And I don't want to throw the line out there that, you know, the Bulls are who we thought they were. But at the end of the day, I feel like this team, the record should be much better than it is now.
Okay, so I ask you guys the question. If I told you they changed coaches and that it wasn't Jim Boylen and it was Eric Spoelstra, pick a good young coach. I'm not asking you to bring back Phil Jackson.
Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens is coaching.
Yeah.
Is this a playoff team?
Yeah, it is. I think that because we talk about in the East, a playoff team means four or five victories, right? I think you can look at the way that this team has been coached and wonder about four or five games, a minimum. So I think, Will, those words don't come easily for an ex-player, a guy who understands how proud the organization is, but it's reaching a tipping point, and you wonder where it's headed. Either in the NBA, you change coaches, or you make a trade. And I think the Bulls have to consider strongly either option.
This coach is an embarrassment in terms of how he motivates, in terms of how he organizes, and in terms of schematically. They play the pick and roll more stupidly than any team in the NBA. So they'll have 18, 19 steals a game, but they'll get destroyed down the middle and in the paint because of the way he consistently plays it. It is so easy to decipher. It's an embarrassment what they are. But of course, it's not just him. This is now eight coaches for John Paxson. Eight coaches, if you count both Jim Boylens, because he had another Jim Boylen for a game or two. Pete Myers twice in a little interim stint. Who gets eight coaches?
What they need is another Tom Thibodeau.
Sure, go get him. Or the original one is still there. But who gets eight coaches in any sport, in any league in America? It's an embarrassment.
I really like what Will Perdue said there. And if you watch these last few games, especially, I mean, in crunch time, there's second half, fourth quarter. I mean, Neil Funk the other day said the Mavericks don't close teams out very well. They haven't met the Bulls because the Mavericks closed them out pretty well, and so did New Orleans, who's not even close to as good as Dallas. They closed them out. But you brought up Spoelstra and Stevens. Those are great names because think about the players on those teams that have become star. Like, players have emerged. Isaiah Thomas was no star but he emerged under Brad Stevens before things went south for him. Miami, look at what Miami's done without LeBron.
One
retooling
after another in Miami.
And emerging players, emerging stars. Yeah, those are great names. So the answer is yes, they'd be much better under those
coaches. Here's the most dangerous thing. If you come home and your wife says, David, I'm very upset with you. Okay, she cares. She's trying to improve your relationship. If she goes, I really don't care. Apathetic. She's checked out of the relationship. I had a friend, Jordan Cornette, go into a bar. There were 12 TVs. He counted them. 12! Not one had the Bulls game on. They got out-of-town hockey, college basketball, out-of-town NBA. Nobody's watching. That's a dangerous thing.
That's a terrible example to make your point. Your point is a good one. Apathy is worse than anger,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I think what you're seeing with the Bulls fans is that you worry about them becoming more apathetic. You were strong today on the radio. You went on a rant about what is next. So I'm asking you, what do you think is next for this team if they're not going to get any better with the current coach and with the current mix?
What I believe is going to happen. This isn't me, the owner. This is me saying what I think is going to happen. I think at the end of the year, they are going to take a broom to this franchise, and they're going to make major changes. I believe John will be still there, and he will be working for Jerry and for Michael.
So that's not major enough.
They're going to bring in a loud voice in basketball operations to be the new GM, and that guy will pick his coach, and they will improve their scouting staff, and they will add more scouts.
They better. That front office is still the smallest in the entire league. It's still
I think that's coming.
The least analytically smart.
Would you compare that to the White
league.
Sox model in the way that they elevated Kenny Williams?
Yes.
But they installed Rick Hahn, who was already part of the organization, but still is a different decision maker.
Correct.
With a different style. So the Bulls would try to mimic that pattern?
They did that already, and Gar Forman has proved to be terrible at this job. So we've seen that already.
They're going to go outside and get somebody.
They need to. Here's the problem. Not only have they lost Will Perdue, not only have they lost the fans or the bar owners in that bar with the 12 TVs, He's right. dangerously close to losing the players. You hear Chris Dunn last night? We have to be men. We have to respond like men. They fell behind by 22
they lacked focus,
in the fourth quarter. They had quit in them, and understandably so, because they don't believe they're any good, and they don't believe their coach
is any
good. Well,
Chris Dunn came out and said, we have to do a better job making adjustments. That's a shot at the coach.
It's going to happen more and more from the players' mouths.
To bring this full circle, I wonder if both occupants of this building, come the offseason, will be sweeping the front office. I really think that that's
well,
a possibility.
Let's go back to preseason. That's interesting, Jesse, because the Blackhawks told us they were a playoff
exactly.
team. The Bulls said
they
the
said
same
it last
thing.
Year right. when they fired Quinville.
But the Bulls said the same
they
thing.
Sure
and
did.
This was the first year that Pax was pretty open about the fact that Michael Reinsdorf reiterated it on the radio.
Pax said he was on with you, he was on yep. with me. It's time to start winning
yes,
games.
And they're not winning games. It's the same look for the same reasons that it was last year.
And look at the teams they just lost to this week who have revamped and rebuilt in ways that are more interesting and more fun and are going to win more. The Mavericks figured something out. They knew they had Dennis Smith Jr.
They found
Let's
a star.
Move. They found a number two before yeah. they even found the star what, by getting Kristaps.
And what a sad state of affairs with the All-Star game here. I mean,
oh,
what, I assume the last time the All-Star game was here was Jordan years, right? I don't remember. But right, or something like that.
88.
That was the height of it
Jesse,
all, right?
The dunk contest.
I mean, come on.
That'll be cool.
Right.
They're not going to have anybody. And just
oh, everyone will go nuts for
events.
Zach
yeah,
because he'll be in the contest. Thank God it's
okay,
not a mid-range shooting contest. Zach would lose.
Who's getting a louder ovation on skills night? Zach LaVine in the dunk contest or three-point or Derrick Rose?
There's no question. Derrick Rose will own the weekend if he's in, if he's here for the skills contest.
He is in.
He will own Chicago that
weekend.
And then
if he's healthy, the hometown boy Anthony Davis will be one of the best players in the game,
right.
And there's no chance that he's coming here next year.
No chance?
Probably not.
No chance?
I don't think so.
No,
although, what if they hired the right GM?
If they hired the right guy to throw rings on the table and
exactly.
like Pat Riley did in Miami, maybe. It sure is time to let Anthony Davis run your institution.
Why else? I mean, he turned down a max contract offer from the Lakers this week.
Because he'll get a super max in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, 200 plus
well,
from them.
One can hope, but it's really slim hope.
Slim hope, yeah.
Not realistic.
We'll see. All right, we've got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk baseball next because we got a panel of baseball guys. So we'll talk some baseball, Cubs and White Sox coming up next.
I want to do more hockey.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
Javi Baez with a wonderful Instagram post today. That is his son with the epic bat flip. And Javi having some fun. Look, that guy gets it. He is such a good dude to deal with, and he's a great player this week. In fact, I think the Kansas City Royals are already gunning for him because they don't like that bat.
Tim Anderson loves it, though.
Yeah, Tim Anderson went, that's my guy. I'm all in. And this week, a new analytic breakdown said that Javi Baez is the single best infielder defensively in all of baseball.
That wasn't surprising, was it?
I don't think so.
Certainly the best tagger ever.
Yeah, an outs above average from StatCast. Pretty cool. Tim Anderson, the aforementioned, by the way, I believe number 21 of all shortstops. Not quite as bad as you'd think with all the errors.
I was surprised, and Andrelton Simmons wasn't number one.
He's number two.
Yeah.
If Addison Russell never had his problems, would Javi still be at second base, or would they have done that move without any reason behind it other than the arm?
They would have gotten there.
So how happy are the Cubs? They offered a five-year extension to Addison Russell right after the 2016 World Series, and he said, thank goodness, no thank you.
Yeah, sometimes you get lucky.
But if he had not come up and been impactful in 2016, it would have been him instead of Gleyber Torres in the Chapman deal, and you wish that would have happened.
You've got to think that Javi Baez would have had the kind of impact no matter where he was playing. Right. I think it just playing shortstop maybe made it more obvious.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I just wonder if he would have eventually moved over there.
Yeah.
Because of the arm difference. Addison still has a weaker arm.
All right, let's talk about the Cubs first, then we'll talk about the White Sox. The Cubs have spent a grand total of exactly $0 on guaranteed major league players this winter. Jesse, once they get the Chris Bryant decision, will that guy be stepping to a podium to announce a trade of one or more core pieces?
Definitely. That's the plan still. Their offseason hasn't started. It really hasn't. And I think they have to basically wait for the grievance and probably every single free agent that's left to get off the board, starting with Josh Donaldson. Donaldson and the grievance, then their offseason begins.
What's amazing about it is that you can talk to people, and I'm curious if you guys have talked to people who have any more clarity, but you can talk to a lot of people around, and there's still no certainty about when they'll get an answer to this grievance.
Absolutely insane. I've heard that they were forced to make an analytical defense of their not bringing him up based around defense.
That is correct.
And that's insane that they had to do that.
And how about this? Scott Boras's people, I was told, walked into that room and they said, okay, you're claiming that his defense is the reason you sent him down. So can you explain why at the exact same level of the minor leagues, the guy you chose to start, Mike Ault, had worse fielding metrics, and they laid it all out.
That's the absurdity of the situation. You shouldn't be able to file a grievance when everybody knows what the entire league has been doing. I think there's no way it's going to be ruled against them because of the timing and the multiple free agents, the myriad organizations who would be affected by a ruling like this.
So who goes, Jesse? Who's the one traded? Is it Chris Bryant?
Oh, it's definitely still him on the board. Yeah, for that. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Even if it's one, okay, say
he's their number one. That's plan A.
Okay.
That's plan A.
Plan B?
Plan B would be
Contreras?
No, because he doesn't make enough money to trade. I mean, they are getting under the luxury tax come hell or high water. So if it's not him, I think they have to go to their pitching staff or Schwarber to make that trade.
Quintana.
Explain this to us. So with all of that as the context, how do you explain these rumors, two reports from national reporters who are respected about Nolan Arenado being linked to the Cubs?
Yeah, it's a pie in the sky.
He makes $35 million. Dollars.
Here's the way it would have to happen. Hayward, Bryant, and Contreras would all have to be off the team, and Arenado would be on the team. Now, the reason there's even a possibility is you have to start with this baseline and move backwards. Arenado seemingly wants out of Colorado. If he wants out of Colorado, there's only a few teams he can go to. The Yankees don't need him. The Dodgers are a possibility. They're always laying in the weeds. I can't figure out the Dodgers, and that's where the Cubs are in play. But Bryant and Hayward would have to be off this team.
Here's how it could work. Hayward and Contreras and maybe a young pitcher or another piece, maybe it's Hap, unfortunately, to Colorado. Hayward has 4 years at about $22 million per. Arenado's got 7 years at $35 million. So there's 3 years and a bunch of money saved there to begin with. Then if they do that, then you trade Bryant for young controllable pitching.
Okay.
They're not opposed to paying, hold on, David. They're not opposed to paying a third baseman real big time money. They're opposed to paying Chris Bryant real big time money because Arenado is far, far better on multiple fronts.
Not arguing that. Guys, Cap, why would anybody, the Rockies or another team, want Jason Hayward?
Of course they don't want
that
Jason
kind of
Hayward.
Here's the reason.
That's how you get Contreras and get some relief.
So you say, okay, here's Contreras, here's Ian Happ. I'm taking David Dahl back so I can have an outfielder, and I'm taking Nolan Arenado. Then I trade Chris Bryant. He's an $18.5 million arbitration award, $23 million AAV to Jason Hayward, and I'm also giving you Wilson Contreras at five. Add all that money up, take Arenado back, and you're saving $11 million.
David, it is
and
still,
they're saving $120 million.
What did I say about Stan Bowman? You have to explore everything.
Yes.
It's still pie in the sky, but go back to what I said. You have to start with the notion that he wants out. Now, who can take on that salary in late January?
See, and that scenario is how you end up threading the needle with an offseason in which you reload instead of tear down or rebuild.
That's really
threading the needle.
Right,
it is. But that's what you have to explore.
It's still pie in the sky,
You can do the math, but it seems very remote that you're going to get the answer that you're looking for.
But here's the bottom line, though. They are not going to be better in 20 than they were in 19 unless David Ross brings it out of them. That's the only way. And that's sad. 2 years in a row, you haven't manipulated your team where it could at least look better.
All right, let's talk about the White Sox, who actually have been active this offseason. They've spent just over $201 million. And you know, in talking with Jim Bowden, a two-time GM yesterday, he said, I can't tell you I'm picking them to win the division, but that's a 90-win team right there.
Well, if you're a 90-win team, you're in the playoffs. And it doesn't matter if you win the division. If you're the White Sox and the rebuild is over and you get to the postseason, that's a great season. That's not a good season. That's a great season. And I think with their pitching rotation, with Keuchel stabilizing things, and you see their offense as potent as it is, that's not outrageous to consider that 90 victories. Maybe 88, 90, but it's in that ballpark.
They've reached a really fun point where you're nitpicking the second baseman until Nick Madrigal gets there.
Right.
You're nitpicking, can they hold on to James McCann for this kind of role after he had a breakout year? It's a really good roster right now. And if there's improvement along with the additions, you're talking about a team that can battle for second place in that division. I still believe in the Twins.
Well, we've been waiting for this because this division is so bad at the bottom. end of it, you can you how many within the division? Yeah, half the season's within the division almost. I mean, you can make hay against the Royals, against and maybe even the Indians this year a little bit.
Maybe.
Because they're not as good.
I mean, I think people tend to underestimate the Indians because they got rid of Kluber, even though he wasn't a big part of that team last year.
They still have pitching, man.
They still have a lot of pitching.
Yeah, they do.
And they still have Lindor.
But by default, unless Renteria doesn't have them even thinking as a team or whatever, by default they're going to be in the 80s. By default.
Where's your confidence level with Renteria?
Pretty low, as a matter of fact. And that's another thing that you end up talking about when you get to have a roster this good. I'm really interested and how he's going to evolve.
Now he has to win.
He needs to evolve, absolutely.
I don't know why you'd say pretty low. Why pretty low?
Because there's been really odd choices in terms of hitting your best guys seventh.
Oh,
in terms
stop
of,
with that
of bunting
that,
for one run innings. No, that stuff is called how you win in ball games Jess.
Okay.
And even though a manager may only cost you four or five games, those could be important.
So where would
you
bat Tim Anderson?
I would bat Tim Anderson, too, and have him learn bat
Who's
control.
Who's leading off? Luis Robert?
No. Right now, Yoan
What's
Moncada.
No.
Because
if you're nitpicking the batting order, then you like Ricky Renteria. Because that's just nitpicking. Please.
Okay, Joe Madden.
It's about getting the guys to go
line up Easter.
Play as a team.
Boy,
and all that other stuff.
Theo has reached you over the last few years.
He hasn't. Wow. Give me a break.
No, a leadoff hitter is a real question. They learned that, haven't you guys?
Yeah, sure.
Over the past 4 or 5 years, that ought to be Rizzo on the north side.
Well, hold on, I'm going to get back to this, Matt. So Luis Robert is probably as dynamic of a young player as has come into Chicago since
but he's
Chris
not,
Bryant.
He's not an on-base percentage guy, and he's not a contact guy so
where
far
would you bat him?
I'd bat him 8 or 9.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Let him play center field, play every day, and learn the big leagues, and then move him up in May if he's really taking to it on
but
the full
level.
But
you know that the average fan, columnist, talk show host is expecting Luis Robert to hit .288 with 32 bombs and 108 knocked in.
Well, that's silly. That's silly. You can't think that as
Jesse, I'm not saying I do. I'm just telling you, that's the expectation.
I guess somebody has to win Rookie of the Year.
I love it when Cap steps back and starts to talk about the talk show hosts and the columnists. Like, he's not going to be the first guy saying he's going to hit 35 homers.
No, both Robert and Mazzara should have nice little protection. Let him hit 8 and 9. And because you got a lot of guys. Put Edwin Encarnacion right in the middle of that
I'm
order.
Afraid of their defense. Their defense scares me.
Now that's
Eloy
true.
Jimenez, Nomar Mazzara. You better get Luis Robert a golf cart.
That's why you let him hit 9 and just worry about running side to side.
How about when you get Dallas Keuchel, a ground ball pitcher, when you get guys like Steve Cishek, a sinker baller, aren't you worried about your infield defense?
They need a backup shortstop who can play some second and play some
Listen,
third.
When you win the winter, it doesn't always transfer to the summer. But it also means you had to win. So, you know what I mean? Like, they had to do this stuff, and they did.
It does feel a little bit like, remember when you covered the Blackhawks, you start to argue about the sixth defenseman.
Isn't that
because
fun?
Everything else was filled.
It still has to come together, though, so there could be a wonky first time as a
Absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely, but think about it.
You know, out of the box, all that stuff.
Every team in this town except the Bulls in recent years has had that feeling for their fans that, oh, my God, we're next. Remember when the Blackhawks felt like when they were next?
Yeah.
And the Cubs did. Last year, the Bears, we thought they were next. We were wrong. Good for the Sox fans to have this moment, finally, after all the crap.
But I still think it's important for Renteria to be like, hey, don't read those headlines. Whoever's picking us to win 90.
It's going
to
be hard, Jesse. Because the Sox are the only team in town with the arrow pointing up.
Yeah.
And I still think the Bears' arrow is pointing up.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you would.
Embrace the target, David.
Where's your number 10 jersey?
Embrace the target.
Come on.
It's sideways.
The Bears just went 8-8. It's one of the most disappointing seasons in recent memory. And the arrow's pointing up? Really?
Yes.
Come on, Cap.
Yes.
Well, Case Keenum going to lead him to the playoffs
next year? Yeah, Case Keenum
year?
And Pat Shermer.
I don't know if it's pointing up or down, but it's just maybe neutral,
I came home at the holidays, and my wife's like, I bought you an I love you present. We have this concept. It could be a Heath bar. It could be whatever. But she bought me an I love you present. I opened it up.
Mitch?
It was a pair of Mitchell Trubisky socks.
Wow.
She's like, you're the only one that still believes.
Yeah,
there you go.
Make sure you find the foot with that. It's probably going to be a little off center.
They were in the sale rack.
She bought me one, too. It was much more expensive than that. I don't know.
What can I tell you? Anyway, playoffs are bust. If they don't make the playoffs, the Sox, is the season a failure?
No, I don't think you can go that far. I mean, you want to make the playoffs. You're not firing anybody, depending on how things unfold. But you have realistic expectations. You can say this is a playoff team, but I don't think the repercussions come with the playoff or else reality.
I think you want to be in contention in August and give yourself a real chance. Give yourself a full season of baseball that matters, and then we'll see what happens.
Normally, I'd say no, but we always think of these things without remembering what just happened, which is 2, 3, 4 years of this rebuild thing. Like, we, you know, it's same thing happened with the Cubs. Like, too bad if it's too much pressure, playoffs are bust.
Right.
You've put yourself in this position, forced people to pay good money and watch your product when you stunk.
But,
so, yes, David, in that division, you've got to make the
playoffs.
I'll
tell you what is reality,
Jesse.
Yeah, okay.
You don't think this would be the bonus year like 2015
this
was
is the bonus
for the Cubs?
Year. This is 2015
this is the
for the White Sox.
All right.
No. Yes.
All right, fine.
I'll tell you one thing, though. You invest $200 million in an offseason. If you don't draw at least 25,000 a night to get to 2 million in attendance, then that would be a major disappointment.
Yeah, shame on the
fans. I mean, when you start the season in third place at least, come on. Come on. You've got to be able to beat the Twins who haven't spent anything. I'm sorry, the Indians who haven't spent anything and at least battle the Twins.
I think you can put an asterisk. If they stay healthy, then I think you're probably right. But you can't predict injuries with a young pitching staff that has been prone to injury.
Things have to go right. And you know, Giolito has to follow up his great season with another one, things like that.
Right. That's the thing. Is Yoan Moncada the guy from last year?
Yes.
I think
he
is.
Yeah.
Is Giolito?
I think he is, too.
So we're going to find out.
Got to see if Dylan Cease takes a step, if Kopech is healthy and dominant.
Is James McCann the guy that was great in the first half or had a lousy second half?
Well, him you've got cover for.
It's
but
a good point about their defense, though. Bad defense can really unravel things with your pitching staff and the camaraderie and all that stuff.
Tim Anderson was ranked the 21st shortstop. I know he won a batting title.
Right.
Dallas Keuchel needs ground balls fielded.
Right.
We'll see.
Chuck Garfine said they're winning 100 games. That's all I know.
He told me 112.
Did he? Okay.
He said the same thing last year.
Yeah, right.
Ryan McGuffey has him at 117 wins. All right, we've got to take a timeout. We still got football to talk about. We got to get you off to Pat Boyle and the guys from Blackhawks Pregame Live. We are on the concourse on Authentic Fan Night here at the United Center in advance of the Blackhawks and the Predators. And it's all brought to you by our great friends with the Chevy Silverado. Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. Be right back.